Thank you for joining us for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link down below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now let's join our special guest as he teaches from the Word of God.
Amen. Truly is an honor and a privilege to be among you again tonight. As you can see, I'm already somewhat pacing because the message that I have for you tonight, it is a one that's dear to my heart. I'm excited because what I'm sharing to you is what I was able to share with someone else on Sunday. And it is important not only to me, but it's important to God. And I'm talking about the good news. See, on Sunday, a group of us have been praying for a while. We've been praying that, you know, what my nephew would get saved and have salvation. And on Sunday night, my nephew called and he was in tears. And he said he didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to figure it out. And I was able to share with him the gospel. I was able to share with him, amen, the gospel message about Jesus Christ. And it's like any kid who grew up, you know, he heard about him, but he hadn't experienced him in a manner that he would be able to receive him. And on Sunday night, he was able to receive that message. And I heard my nephew say not only the sinner's prayer, but he asked God to be his savior. And he was crying out, Lord, help me. You be my savior. And it touched me to understand what it was like because I was the same age when I gave my life to Christ. So on tonight, my topic is the gospel. It is the gospel. Because it's the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ that has us all here. It is the good news about Jesus Christ that we all have a reason to live for. It is the same hope that was preached about in the Old Testament by the prophets. It was the same message that Jesus brought when he came into the world about the kingdom of God is at hand. And it is the same thing that we celebrate year after year after year on Resurrection Sunday of that hope, the gospel, the good news. This good news was recorded in four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first three, the synoptics, right? Those had similar stories, similar methods, and then John, he brought a different style to it, but that was to the Jewish. And in those four gospels, the word gospel was used 26 times. 26 times. The good news. But tonight, we're going to focus on Paul's message. Paul used the word gospel more than any other writer in the Bible. In fact, he used triple the amount of times the word gospel in his messages. It is recorded that Paul wrote 76 times about the word good news or gospel. And we're going to look at one of those segments that he preaches about to the Romans in his letters to them. And that's, we're going to go over Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And I'm going to tell you, Romans is my favorite book of the Bible, but I'm going to tell you about every book of the Bible. It's my favorite. But Romans, by far, is one of my favorite books to study, to read, because it lets me know, I don't know, Jew, Gentile, that I have a right to the Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And it reads, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am ready or eager to preach the gospel to also you who are also in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. Let's pray. Gracious and heavenly Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, it was your gospel message that was rendered to my nephew. It wasn't me, but your message. God, that saved him. It was your message that saved me, that saved him, that saved us. And on tonight, God, as we dive into your word, God, to talk about it, God, we want to be more about it. We don't want to just sit here and get into it and don't take it out. But help us, God, to hear what is being said tonight. God, decrease me and increase you. Whatever I have prepared, God, make it more than enough. Feed us on tonight that we may be fed, that we may be sharpened, so that we can make an impact for the kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Again, I was excited about this message as I started going through this. And I was going through, and you know, I remember back when I did give my life to Christ, and I was thinking about how in the beginning I tried to hide it from my friends. I tried to hide it from my coworkers, tried to hide it from all the different people who were around me that had didn't want them to know that something about me had changed, that the God who I knew that I had just surrendered to was my Savior. I was ashamed. I was ashamed because I had this quote unquote status that I had to maintain for the world. So I began to go to church, but you know, I wouldn't let anybody know. My music changed. I would take people home from playing basketball, this and that, and nobody said anything. And although my life had changed, I didn't want anybody to know that it had changed. But as I began to go and get deeper into this relationship thing with Christ, right? Because as you get into it, you know, it's something that can't be contained. Truly, if you are searching for God and you're trying to get into a true relationship with Him, it cannot be contained. It can't be contained. I don't care how much you try to contain the good news of Christ. When you really get engulfed into it, it can't be contained. So I began to tell. I told my mom, because my mom and I, we were close. And I said, Mom, I got something to share. And I'm like, I gave my life to Christ, and I want to live out my faith. I want to live out this thing that I know Christ did into my life. And the first thing she did, she praised God. Right? See, this is her son. I'm a baby. Oh, my baby don't got saved. He don't gave his life to Christ. He ain't playing with God anymore. So she was excited. Then she took me to prayer. Because this thing that I have obtained, she wanted to make sure that I would keep it and that I was cultivating it. And see, this thing that I'm talking about, this gospel, we see here in that first verse Paul is saying, he's saying, listen, I am under obligation both to Greek and to barbarians. This means right here, Paul is talking about his obligation to spread this good news. This obligation that he had received from Christ himself on Damascus Road. We read in Acts chapter 26 when Paul was headed to Damascus on one way to persecute Christians. He left and went to Damascus a different way. He was changed. He was renewed in Christ. We heard the message on Sunday about in Christ. He was in Christ, and now he was a different man. He was a slave to God. See, Paul was not only a persecutor of Christians, he was a religious man. Paul was a devout religious man, meaning he knew scripture probably better than we know it. Truthfully, he did, because that was one of the merits of being a religious leader, was you had to know scripture. You had to memorize it. And you know, we have all these devices now that we can refer to. What? Google, Siri, tell me what this scripture is. Paul didn't have Google. Paul didn't have Siri. He had the mindset that I needed to have this. And this was one of the things, you know, they were puffed up about memorizing scripture. They were puffed up about it. So he went to Damascus one way on a wrong route and found God, and God put him on the correct route. So now he has an obligation to the Greek and to the barbarians. And what this tells us, and it didn't stop there, it says to the wise and to the unwise. So we're talking not only about the Greek, which the message that Jesus gave him was, hey, you're going to preach to the Gentile nation. But among them, you know, now we're talking the Greek. This is the primary language of that time. So those who really couldn't speak the language, they called them barbarians. Because you were uneducated, you couldn't speak fluent Greek, and yeah, your merit and you were looked at as less than. And here God is bringing a gospel, not only to the rich, to the proper, to the prestige of individuals, but even to the low, poor, pitiful me. He was bringing a message, and not only a message, the good news of, hey, your work is not even, it doesn't even matter. It's not a requirement to receive this good news. So Paul is saying, I am under obligation. I am committed to this thing. I am in debt to Christ for this message that I have to take to the Gentile nation, to all men that are here in Rome. And he said he's eager to bring this message to them in Rome. Now, I don't know if you understand like what happened at Acts 2 when the church was formulated. And then the people were scattered. So in Acts 2, when they were in the upper room, there was a whole bunch of mixed up individuals. And some came from Rome, some came from this place, some came from that. Those who were in Rome at the time that received the first message of the gospel from Peter, when they went back home, they had established a church. They established the groundwork of where they were trying to live this Christian lifestyle out. And it was in its beginning stages of working things out. Y'all know how things are when you're in the beginning stage of working things out. There are some kinks. There are some kinks. There's different beliefs. And I'm pretty sure they had their group of guys who were probably devout in Judaism at the time. And they probably had their group of individuals that, you know, wasn't so good with reading and writing and stuff. And they had these different groups. And now Paul is writing to all of them in Rome. He's writing to them. He couldn't be there with them. He's tried to go. And I know this is what the gospel is. When we are to share the gospel, it is something that we can't contain. I already said that, right? So he couldn't get to them. So now I got to write to you. If I can't make it to you, I gotta use whatever means necessary to get this message to you, to the Greek, to the wise, to the poor, whoever needs to hear this message. I need you to understand the good news that I have for you. And see, this is what I'm saying about what Paul was saying to them. As we continue to read on, and it talks about, for I'm not ashamed, Paul had every reason not to be ashamed. Just like we have every reason not to be ashamed. We have every single reason. But it's intimidating when we talk about that word. in the commission, go out. Go out to all nations. Go out into all the world and preach or teach this message. We hear that word preach, and we're like, hey, that's Pastor Bill. We hear that word preach, and we're like, hey, that's Pastor Henry. But see, if we really understood the difference in what preach means, right, that word, that means to share. It also means to proclaim. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be up here. In fact, in the book of Romans, again, in chapter 15, Paul talks about it. He say, look, I ain't trying to be where everybody else is, where they have already heard the good news. I want to be where they're not. I want to be where the gospel message hasn't been shared. In fact, when we go back and we're talking about to the Greek and to the barbarian, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll become whatever to all people so that they can understand this gospel message. Now, this doesn't mean that he's going out and living any kind of way to get people to accept Christ. But he's dealing with them at their level. See, the problem we have is we want to do it, but we want to do it on our terms. We want to be harsh all the time when we bring the gospel. How is that good news? How is that news good? Every time you come around, you're, and the Bible says. How is it good? People feel like you're condemning them because you haven't become all things to all people. Meeting them where they are and then presenting the good news. Presenting the good news. See, Paul said, not only is it my duty, but I'm excited. Where is the excitement of it? The intimacy that got you to come to him. See, now what we're talking about is this gift, because this is God who has commissioned us to take this message to the world. This is God. Isn't it ironic that God would use flawed individuals to take his perfect message of his perfect son and to deliver it to others? This is a gift, an honor. To have the opportunity to share, to proclaim, or to preach about the good news about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came, died, was resurrected, and extended salvation to us. My goodness. This is a gift from God that we get to share with our Lord and Savior about his message, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. Again, we go and we're saying, hey, I'm not a preacher. I can't stand up here and convey this message like you. I can't come and I can't explain this message to you like Pastor Henry. I can't quote scriptures off the back of my head like that. And again, we have technology. Not only do we have technology, Paul is foremost one of the greatest writers of all time. Because he said, look, don't try to make it sound all good. See, we'll miss people because we try to take the gospel and use it in a manner where it loses its power, because we're trying to sound or be something that we're not to proclaim it. What is wrong with the word of God being the word of God and allowing the power of God to minister to the hearts and the minds of individuals? Because when the mind changes, the heart changes. They won't get it if the mind don't change. But if you ain't telling them the message, if you're not sharing the message, they'll never get the message. And see, that's where we have to understand our role, our privilege, our duty, because this is a commission. And I am in the military, so when I hear the word commission in the Great Commission, this means that it is an oath. And our officers take an oath of office. Every commissioned officer takes an oath to uphold the constitutions of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. We say that with our hands held, and they say, "Aye," and state your name. And we say that. Why can't we have a commission when it comes to that? I, Dante, will go out into the world and proclaim the good news to every person out there. We need a commission. We need to truly take this to heart. I mean, this needs to sink in that it's not just on those who have been called to the office of evangelism. Because we put so much on them to try to carry out this work, and we sit here and we get this message and we get this word, and then we don't take it out. We become sharp and we don't use our axe heads. Wow. What good is an axe sitting in the shed? Sharp. Never used. We sit here week after week, getting spiritually sharp to only continue to sharpen each other, give scripture to each other, rub noses with each other. What about the impact outside? Brother Billy, a few weeks back, preached about the character that produces influence. The character that produces influence. And God wants to make an impact in you through what you are receiving. All this teaching, this dynamic teaching that Brother Derek is giving, all this preaching that you're receiving week after week after week. And we're sitting in here sharp. And we ain't cutting no trees. We ain't cutting no trees. We ain't using the ability that God has given us and the good news that God has given us and just making an impact for the kingdom. Not at work, not at home. Even the Bible say, teach it to your children. Let it be conversation that continue to go on in your house. It ain't just a conversation that we have when we come in here. But if you want to continue to stay sharp and you want to have it where it is bubbling up and it has to come out, you have to continue the conversation even when you get home. Because as you continue the conversation, guess what? Then it's going to just slip out at work. How good God is. Do you want to know how good my God is? Let me share this story with you. Let me tell you what he done in my life. But if we're not sharing it and we're not continuing to do it and just keep evolving that message, we'll just be sharing it in here. Sharing it to Brother Doug on Tuesday night to each other. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, because that's how we stay sharp. That's how we stay sharp. That's accountability. But what about the unbeliever? The person that has never heard about him. In fact, there are still people in this world who has never heard the gospel message. How do I know that? Because Jesus hasn't come back. His word says when everyone has heard the gospel message, we can look up and poof, we'll be gone. But we ain't doing it enough, obviously, because we're still here. Aren't you ready to leave and go to your heavenly home? My goodness, share the gospel. Share the gospel. What has God done for you? Do you remember when you first gave your life to him? What it meant to you? The freedom from guilt and shame that you received from God. I'm telling you, in the middle of the night, the freedom that I experienced in my God for just saying, God, I surrender. It was far better than anything I had ever experienced in my entire life. I have been chasing what we call that high ever since. Doing this don't even make, it doesn't even equate to that experience of God lifting that burden off of me that I could not take off myself. We have all tried to do it on our own merit, and we have all failed. That's the reason why we're here. We knew our failure, and he didn't make us feel so bad that we didn't want to come to him. He loved us through our failures and said, child, I'm trying to show you. I've been trying to reroute you and get you on the right path, but you chose to keep going that way. You heard it saying rerouting. Rerouting. And you ignored the signs. But I'm still here. You can still go in this direction. And when I made the decision to go in that direction, I'm like Paul. If I have to write about it, if I have to recite it through poetry, if I have to say it to my coworkers, and the great thing about being in the military, they send me all kind of places. Man, I love it. They send me to places for free. And I get to preach the gospel. I don't only live it out because a lot of times that, again, I used to be the one that wore it on my t-shirt and that was it. I used to have t-shirts with it bold, young, fly, and saved. My wife over there like, young, fly, and saved. They can see the shirt. It had to come out. It has to come out. And when it come out, you just don't understand when God uses you and you experience it. It's like watching, it's like having an out-of-body experience because you're speaking to them and God is using you, but you know it ain't your own words. You already know it ain't your own words. It's not your words. And then it comes out so fluidly. And then you're like, wow. You're amazed at what God does through you, but you don't give him opportunities to do it more. You should go from victory to victory, from faith to faith in this. It should not stop because that's what the gospel message is all about. Paul says right here, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. From the moment of salvation on and on and on. Our God, who is so sovereign, so holy, so righteous, so good, and so perfect. Again, gave us an opportunity to use his gospel message about his son who he sent. And if you don't know nothing else and you want to share the gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved. The gospel message is about his love. He so loved the world. My brother, my sister, that includes you. I know that you think you're in a mess. I know you think you're in the mud. I know you think your situation, you can't come out of it. But he so loved the world. Can I use your name? What's your name? Stacy? Stacy, he so loved the world. He so loved Stacy that he gave his only I got 3 children. And I can't give you one. But our God gave you his only son. And all you have to do, and that's not paraphrasing, but it's still the word of God. All you have to do is believe in him and you'll have eternal life. It's for you and it's for me. He died for you. He died for you to be free. You don't have to carry these burdens anymore, Stacy. John, you don't have to carry that burden. I get it. I was you. We can walk this thing out together. Because I know what God did. Look at me. I was a mess. I'm not perfect now. But God, he was so gracious. He was so understanding. He was so patient. Man, he was more patient than I would be with myself. He was patient. And this is how we share the gospel message. We bring them to an understanding of how loving, how patient, how great our God is. And we watch God move. We can't save no one. It is the power through the good news. It is the power through the good news. It's the power through you sharing, proclaiming, telling the world. It shouldn't just be on Easter Sunday. It shouldn't be just then that they're reminded of it. Or we're reminded of it. And we should also, in this same message, don't allow the enemy to condemn us. Because this message is not only to them, but it's to the church. It is to us that we are still free from faith to faith. This is what we need. This is what the world still needs. The gospel. The gospel. Less of me, more of him. If he be lifted up, he'll draw. Isn't it time that he be lifted up? At our homes, at our workplaces, workspaces. Shouldn't he be lifted up? Unsaved spouses, shouldn't he be lifted up? Children suffering with addiction, shouldn't he be lifted up? That love, the good news, is still for them. And it's not just to be lived out, but proclaimed. But proclaimed. I'll leave you with this story. On a couple Tuesdays ago, as we were going over the message that Brother Billy Banks preached about, again, character that produces influence, we were talking. It was a group of men, and we were talking about it. And we were talking about that influence, the character that produces influence. And the thing that, I mean, it grabbed me so, is that one man, even on that ship, if you go back and read Acts chapter 27, and it talks about that shipwreck and all that Paul was going through, and they named out 276 that were saved because Paul was on that ship. That's the type of impact. I want to be one man that reach a multitude. I want to exude the presence of God, the power of God through his message. I want to make an impact and be an influencer for the Heavenly Father. And as David said, it's not about the influence. It's about the glory of God. See, we have a lot of people that just want to be influencers. I don't want to be an influencer. I want to make an impact for the kingdom. I want people to hear the gospel message. I want to keep people out the gates of hell. That's love. You should love people enough to tell them that where they're headed is the wrong way if you see them going in that direction. And we see a lot of people that are bypassing and going straight into those flames. And it's our job to keep them out. We should be standing at the gate, turning them away with the good news. You don't have to go in here. You don't have to accept death. But God has given us the freedom through his son that leads to eternal life. I hope I have said something tonight that has encouraged you, that has inspired you to do what God has proclaimed for us to do, and that's to go. That is to share. That is to proclaim, and that is to preach the good news, the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for your spirit. When we lack the boldness, it's just a prayer for the Holy Spirit to move in us, to use us for your glory. God, take what you have given us tonight, God. Don't allow it to fall on deaf ears. But God, bless all the hearers, the readers, and the doers of your word. Help us to be doers, not just listeners, not just readers. Help us to go out to proclaim, to preach, to share. What is it that you have done for all of us? For those who are listening on online, God, those who may come by this message, God, I pray, God, that it makes an impact for the kingdom, that they would ask, what must I do to be saved? Help us, God, to be ready to give an account, as Peter said, all the time, in season and out of season, wherever, God. Help us, God, that we may have a word in us, God. Not practice, but bubbling from our spirit, ready to proclaim what you are doing for us. We thank you, God, and we praise you, and it's in your Son, Christ Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for watching our message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact our office at 850-926-1200 or email us at info@rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us Sunday mornings at 10:30 or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please visit us at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.